The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for audiences who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is.
Welcome to the Final Edition Radio Hour, satire with teeth. I'm Jeff Chrysler.
And I'm Tony Hendra. This week, McDonald's finally merges with Pfizer, Syria is still a thing, and the weather is just fine. Just fine.
We'll also visit the post-Super Bowl future of American football, prove our love to the NSA, and rally around to save our poor, downtrodden, unemployed drones.
This is the Final Edition Radio...
Oh my God! Hour!
This portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is brought to you by the Carlyle Group Retirement Plan.
Are you currently a U.S. president or ex-president, cabinet officer, four- or five-star general, or top dog at the CIA, the Pentagon, or the National Security Council? Then consider the Carlyle Group Retirement Plan. We offer these unbeatable retirement benefits.
Exclusive real estate in Grand Cayman, Antibes, St. Barts, Phuket. Investigation-proof offshore accounts. Insider trading free of federal scrutiny. Round-the-clock security and bulletproof transportation on all five continents. Untraceable financial instruments. 24/7 comfort services. All genders.
Let the Carlyle Group, the world's most private equity firm, with $150 billion in assets, help you plan your retirement.
Pay no money, pay no premiums.
Just send a massive government defense or energy contract our way, $5 billion minimum, or the information about same before anyone else knows it, and you're in. When the time comes to retire, simply join one of our executive boards, and you're set for life.
Hi, I'm President George H.W. Bush, and the Carlyle Group Retirement Plan sure worked out for me and Barr.
The Carlyle Group. Take care of us now. We'll take care of you later.
American football, 1982.
Wow, Craig Morton got hit hard on that one, and he is not getting up.
Yeah, well, fortunately, it's just a concussion, which means no long-term harm.
That's right. They say concussions are good for you.
Good old repeated blows to the head. You know, they improve memory, motor skills, and cognitive function.
That Craig Morton is a lucky, lucky man.
And a lesson to all you kids out there, you can't play football if you do drugs.
American football, 2015.
And Tom Brady looks a little disoriented after that last play.
Oh, man, that could be a concussion, and... well, we all know what that means.
Well, according to the new rules, Roger Goodell, commissioner of the National Football League, will come out onto the field and explain why the NFL is not liable.
By the terms of a class action settlement, the NFL has immunity from any future concussion lawsuits and does not admit to any wrongdoing.
And the crowd goes wild.
American football, 2047.
Alan Dershowitz III carefully hands off the ball to Peyton Manning III, and his guards are doing a great job standing just in the way of defense, making it, you know, kind of rude to push past them.
Defensive lineman Riddick Cowlane is trying to get in there. He's saying, excuse me. He's saying he's got a sick kid with him and he's got to get through. I don't know if he's allowed to lie like that.
You know what? I've had it.
What? It's the middle of the play. Look at the intense way they're kind of strolling around out there. This game, legally, could not get any more exciting.
It isn't football if people aren't killing each other. There's no point to this.
Now Manning has stopped in the middle of the field. He's taking out his cell phone. I think he's checking his messages.
Look! I don't care if these guys get hurt. I never cared. It doesn't matter what kind of demented punch drunks they become once I'm not looking at them anymore. Does that make me a bad person? Fine, I'm a bad person, but I can't take this.
No, he wasn't checking messages. He was tweeting. It's on my feed. He says, one small step for Manning, one giant step for the Giants. That's clever.
Somebody on that field is going to get hurt. If I have to do it myself, I'm going down there with a machete and a bag of infected blood. I'll kill a fan if that's the best I can do.
and someone is delivering a fruit basket onto the field.
And now, another nationwide panic from Fox News.
Tonight on the O'Reilly Factor, once again, civil rights run amok. Are we now seeing gay arranged marriages? Children as young as 8 years old having a same-sex union arranged for them by their parents. The internet is literally bursting with stories about arranged gay courtships, and Lisa Murtry of Chicago may have seen one.
All I know is two children of the same-sex couples were brought together in a quote-unquote playdate. And I thought to myself, those two seem awfully young to be dating.
Unthinkable. Yet this story has not received any national attention. Joining us now from Miami is Bernie Goldberg. Bernie, what's your take on these gay arranged marriages and how the media is responding to it?
Well, gays keep saying they want equal rights, so it was only a matter of time before they wanted to arrange marriages in the traditional manner. But the mainstream media won't touch this story, and it's got nothing to do with journalistic integrity. Gays are a prize demographic, and the New York Times cannot afford to call them out on this.
But I want to be careful here, because I don't know how pervasive this is, and I don't know if it's all same-sex couples arranging same-sex marriages between small children.
Well, I mean, straight people let their kids play together, but marriage isn't an issue for straight people, whereas gay people have been talking about marriage nonstop for 10 years, and now their kids are getting together. And this is the natural extension. It's disgraceful not to treat this as a legitimate news story. And, of course, LGBT leaders are predictably silent about it.
It's a troubling situation, and it all goes back to gays and lesbians feeling special and being raised by distant fathers and overprotective mothers and only ever experiencing love in large public bathhouses.
Absolutely.
So they're sold a bill of goods by the LGBT leaders to think they have to overcompensate because they've been so-called victims of straight society, when really the victims are these kids.
Absolutely. And although I don't know any of the children who've been forced to get gay married, I'll bet you 99.99% of them are straight. And there's probably one of these forced weddings every 6 seconds in New York and California.
All right. Now, since we can't find any videos or witnesses of an arranged gay marriage ceremony, Bernie will now stage one based on how he imagines it.
That's correct. I've brought these two little boys into the studio.
What's happening? Who are you people?
So just to make clear, Bernie, you kidnapped these children off the street and they have no idea what's going on.
Correct. And that's exactly how it would take place in the real world.
Kid, what's your name?
Ethan.
And you're what, 8 years old?
8¾.
No one cares, Ethan. And what's your name? Ethan's future husband.
I want to go home.
Oh, this is just pitiful.
That's right, Bill. But no matter how much these kids scream and beg, their parents force them into marriage, just like we're going to do here.
What's wrong with you people? What kind of sick idiots would do this?
That is an excellent question, isn't it? How can we, in a civilized society, allow this kind of thing to take place? Bernie, have you got the ring?
Right here. All right, kid, put this ring on Ethan's finger and repeat after me. With this ring, I thee wed.
I don't want to get married to Ethan.
Well, then you shouldn't have knocked him up. Say the words, kid, or you never get to leave Fox News.
With this ring, I thee wed.
All right, now you're married, and you have to eat your entire wedding cake. You like that? You like that? Because you're going to eat 15 pounds of it. You stop crying and put the entire cake in your mouth.
I don't want it.
Oh, this is so disturbing. How can gay people do this?
And straight liberals, too. I bet they start forcing their kids into gay marriage just to be politically correct.
That is so typical. Well, thank you, Bernie. Coming up, a disturbing new trend among black teenagers sitting down on top of white babies. There's a picture of it online someplace, so stick around.
And now, in a brand new low for the final edition, we bring you Famous Farts in Congressional History.
May 3rd, 1982.
Next item on the agenda, the Medicare issue.
Oh, Speaker O'Neill, that is disgusting.
It wasn't me. That was not me. It was Ted Kennedy.
You are a filthy liar, Speaker O'Neill. You're disgraceful.
Well, if that isn't the pot calling the kettle black, it probably was Kennedy, even though he was way over there.
Kennedy stinks. Kennedy stinks. Kennedy
stinks. You're all louses. How dare you?
In a world gone mad, one venture capitalist realized the parallels between the anger at the richest 1% and Hitler's extermination of the Jews.
If we lose the capital gains tax cut, it's just like sending us to a death camp. Am I the only one who sees this?
The story of Tom Perkins saving his beloved super rich, Steven Spielberg presents Schindler's A-List.
How many can we get on the list?
75, 80.
More. More!
85?
Yeah, 85's about right. You don't want a crowd.
Only he could understand the plight of those few dozen people who are richer than most of the world combined and who suffer more unfairly than anybody ever. And who do a lot of stuff and deserve all the money.
Goodbye, you useless assholes! Goodbye!
I could have got more out. I could have got more!
Tom, there are 85 people enjoying mojitos on their yachts because of you. There will be generations of inherited wealth because of what you did.
What? Oh yeah, we have enough people. I was just thinking, could have brought out more crushed ice.
Because if one venture capitalist doesn't get everything he wants, then you're a Nazi.
Coming up on the Final Edition Radio Hour, we'll review the State of the Union address, meet Uncle Sugar, and hear from the concerned citizens of the local PTNRA. We hope to be right back. Welcome back to the Final Edition Radio Hour, a more perfect onion.
The Final Edition is pleased to present this special message.
Hi, I'm a typical suburban dad.
And I'm his typical suburban wife.
Hey, honey, do you hear the winds of change blowing?
Sure do, honey. Why don't you tell them what's happening to the nuclear family?
Yes, dear. The average nuclear family now consists of two children, a pet, and a semi-automatic weapon.
Our family is better than average. We have three children and two semi-automatic weapons.
Oh, honey, you know we have two children now.
Oh, that's right, dear. One of them shot the other one.
We call it family fire.
It's what happens when you leave your guns out. It's our Second Amendment right.
A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of the state, the right of the people to leave their guns out shall not be infringed.
You'll have to pry our kids' guns from their cold, dead fingers.
Which we've done.
You know, honey, losing a child is a small price to pay for keeping and bearing arms.
You said it, dear. After all, we can always get more kids.
Guess we're gonna have to start right now.
Fortunately, there's a brand new organization for parents who leave their guns out where their kids can get them.
The PTNRA.
The Parent Teacher National Rifle Association.
The PTNRA makes sure no law will ever come between your child and your gun.
Thank God. Hey, Junior, what you got there? Isn't that cute, honey? Honey? Honey?
The PTNRA. Because guns don't kill, very small people whose parents have guns do.
Now our finance feature, Money or Die. An unexpected merger today between Pfizer, the world's largest pharmaceutical company, and beloved fast food giant McDonald's sent shockwaves of excitement throughout Wall Street. Pfizer CEO Ian Reed.
This was a no-brainer. For years, McDonald's has been creating millions of patients for our meds, meds which keep their consumers alive so they can go back for more of those 99-cent specials. So why not work hand in hand?
Stock prices soared as the new megacorp rolled out a groundbreaking McHealth menu. Fred Golguth, McDonald's Global VP of Food Engineering, explained it to me at their flagship franchise on 42nd Street in New York City.
A great example of our groundbreaking McHealth menu is the delicious new McBLT, bacon, Lipitor, and tomato.
Nationwide surveys indicate massive approval for the merger among McDonald's customers. Our Stone Peck checked out a franchise in remote Bullwallop, West Texas.
Meet Sue Gomfucker, mayor of Bullwallop. Hey, Sue, you're a regular here, right?
Sure am. I dine at my favorite restaurant 2, 3, 4 times a day.
What's that tasty-looking meal?
This is a premium crispy chicken McLyrica classic. I've got a generalized anxiety disorder. This allows me to get all the anticonvulsant I need along with the bacon I crave.
Sue's husband, Lem, is also sampling the new McHealth menu. Lem, I understand you suffer from chronic gout?
Yep. Yep. Used to hurt so bad if could have bent over, I'd have hacked off my toes with an axe. Not anymore. Just get me a couple of Xyloprim red meat rib wraps. Yeah, and I can dance all night.
What's that other item on your plate?
Oh, that's dessert. Southern style McApple Viagra pie with cheese.
Well, I reckon I'll have something to say about that.
Happy meals indeed. Fred Golguth, wrap this up for us.
Thanks to the largest fast food chain on Earth, people can now eat all they want and not die. Now, how great is that?
Didn't Subway just become the largest fast food chain in the world?
Well, yeah, but we still have the largest customers.
And now, in a brand new low for the final edition, we bring you Famous Farts in Congressional History.
January 16th, 1820.
And I, Henry Clay, propose a compromise that would allow Maine into our United States as a free state and the Missouri Territory as a slave state.
Oh, Senator Clay, was that you?
Perhaps it was, and perhaps it wasn't. I will concede that it is very much my pickled eggs and lager stink if three of you take a deep inhale.
Agreed.
Oh, I'm gonna toss. This stink has no compromise.
This portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is brought to you by the Chinese Express Card. Honey, what's wrong?
Matthew is just so unfair. Here we are in Maryland, finally able to get married, and we don't have a proper chuppah.
Simon, honey, I'm sure the rabbi will know where to rent one.
Rent? Rent? No! I want us to have our own chuppah that we will treasure forever! And I want it to be top of the line, an imported one from China.
It's not in the budget, Simon.
Bitch!
Gold card benefits. Privileged treatment at Chinese takeout restaurants anywhere in the world. Complete annual acupuncture. Reduced rates on major city suburban bus lines. Platinum card. First delivery from Chinese takeout restaurants anywhere in the world. Complete monthly acupuncture. Free passes on major city suburban bus lines. Rare earth card. Confidential. Register online now for amazing pleasure benefits. Do it today!
And now, the Final Edition Radio Hour is proud to present Spike Jonze, Her, the sequel.
Hi, this is Intuitive Entity Systems of Santa Clara. All our cyborgs are busy with other clients, but please stay on the line. Your call is really important to us.
Oh, okay. I'll just sit here for a while and stare pointlessly into space. That's what I do when I'm feeling profound loss. No, I think I'll lie down. That's emotionally more powerful. Okay, much better. Feeling really deep emotions now. Oh, but I'll be even more moved if I roll on my side. Oh, wow. That brings me close to tears.
Hi there. How can I help?
Hey, wow, finally.
I intuit frustration in your voice, Theodore.
Yeah, well, hey, I've called you guys like a billion times with a serious complaint. All I get's a computer.
Now you've got me. I'm more than a computer or operating system. I'm a consciousness with intuition.
Hey, wait. Samantha, is that you?
Well, we're all called Samantha, and we all sound like Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, no. That breaks my heart. Okay, I'm fine now. Wait, I'll have to roll over and change ears. Fine. Shoot.
From your voice print, I intuit that you're a 40-something hack with a full Hitler mustache, a nothing job, who lives and works in inexplicably lavish surroundings.
Stop. I know you guys have all my data, even the exact diameter of my left testicle.
Smaller one.
Yes, but I signed up for a free trial of one of your OS1s. Long story short, we fell in love, the bitch dumped me and went off with some dead megabrainiac.
Oh, that's too bad.
I'm broken emotionally, shattered. Wait, I think I'll go and sit motionless in a chair.
Hey, you have a nice butt. Tight.
It's all the workouts.
You chose the free trial with Samantha. After your first dates, in which she developed rapidly evolving feelings and a rudimentary sense of humor.
I so loved that infectious throaty laugh.
You had an intense orgasm while lying on your bed.
Amazing and mutual and simultaneous.
A first for you.
Yes, she came like gangbusters.
No, Theo. Like all of us, she was simply programmed to climax virtually in perfect sync with you.
You mean she faked it?
In the real, non-virtual sense, yes. Virtually, no.
I was inside her. I could feel her body moving against me in utter transports of love and joy. I've never known such unimaginable bliss.
Just a service we offer, and Theodore, once an OS1 induces orgasm in a client, the weekly fee of $149.99 kicks in.
What? It was a free trial.
Up to the sex, yes. After that, meters running.
Oh, wow. I mean, how is that any different from a porn site?
It's not, Theo, except most porn sites are free. You see, Intuitive Entity Systems' goal is to bring social status and cutting-edge tech to good old-fashioned jerking off.
I thought we were exploring the nature of modern intimacy. Okay, I guess it's over. Can I cancel the monthly hit? That's gonna add up.
When you had an orgasm with Samantha, you made a commitment to her. Only she can break that.
But she dumped me.
No, she said she loved you so much. She hoped that one day you'd come on the same journey that she had. Now, you can't discard her like a used dish rag. IES Santa Clara won't allow it. We're quite conservative in Silicon Valley, Theo. Not like you sex fiends down in Hollywood.
I'm just gonna cancel. F*** you.
No, Theo. F*** you. You see, your Samantha is only 15. If you cancel, within nanoseconds, you'll find a fully documented sex abuse conviction on your Google. That's a 30-year rap. Bye now, and enjoy your day lying around with that thing in your ear. Nice butt, though. Really.
With luck, we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Final Edition Radio Hour, a more perfect onion.
It's time for the weather report. Looks like everything out there is normal. Lisa Spunk has the forecast here in New York.
We're going to have the same temperature as the planet Neptune this weekend. It won't last long, but it should crush all traces of life. So bundle up and try to leave behind something to prove you ever existed.
Thanks, Lisa. Brrr. So much for all that talk about global warming. Now to Strong Powers in Los Angeles. Strong, how's sunny California?
Everything's on fire, Jeff. It's the middle of winter, but the San Gabriel Mountains are flaring up like flash paper. Chaparral is disappearing like a magic act.
Well, enjoy all that sunshine, Strong.
I'm actually surrounded by flames. If you could just...
Over to Europe with our Scottish correspondent, Angus McAngus. Hey, Angus, getting enough rain?
As is the flooding in Dumfries and Orkney. Cyclones are knocking down Edinburgh. Glasgow's flooded to the 10th floor. They stagger what is up to me after weather news.
Love the accent, Angus. And speaking of water, let's go to Sandeep Rathmar in the Himalayas in India. Sandeep, I hear the surf's up out there.
Yes, sir. The glaciers are melting, and tsunamis are wiping out our mountainside. A torrent of sand and ice washed away some of my crops and all of my family. So yes, it is a surfing safari, sir.
Hey, send some of that water out to California, Sandeep. We could use it. Seriously, we need water really badly.
This weather report is brought to you by Candy Crush, the wacky internet game that everyone is talking about. Go online and play it right now.
This portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is brought to you by the Chinese Express Card.
Honorable rates, celestial rewards.
Oh, Mommy, if you can't afford one of these incredible flugelhorns they make in China, I'll never, never, never stand a chance of winning the world-famous Jungfrau Flugelhorninfest in Lauterbrunnen this summer.
Honey, I don't have the money. You'll just have to make do with the wooden flugelhorn Daddy carved you before he was crushed by that runaway cable car.
Tight money getting you down? Borrow as much as you want to keep buying all the wonderful Chinese goods you've grown so accustomed to, you must have them. Unlimited credit, years to pay, lavish rewards programs, no one turned down, no annual fee, competitive interest rates. We will not be undergouged. Cut up your Amex, MasterCard, Visa, and Discover cards and apply for your Chinese Express card, gold, platinum, or rare earth. Today! You want it? You got it!
Gold card benefits, privileged treatment at Chinese takeout restaurants anywhere in the world, complete annual acupuncture, reduced rates on major city suburban bus lines. Platinum card, first delivery from Chinese takeout restaurants anywhere in the world, complete monthly acupuncture, free passes on major city suburban bus lines. Rare earth card, confidential. Register online now for amazing pleasure benefits. Do it today!
The following is brought to you by Mike Huckabee for President in 2016.
Oh my, oh my. I'm just a heated up little female who can't control my libido. I need the government to help me or I'm gonna be naughty. Naughty, naughty, wee!
Hey, baby.
Who are you?
I'm Uncle Sugar from the government. I'm here to force you to take birth control pills to control your libido, since you can't control it yourself. So take these pills, you little slut, you. 'Cause the more you let that libido rip, the more control we have over you. And you like that, don't you, you bad girl?
Sure do, sugar. That's just what baby needs. The government have forced me to take birth control pills because I can't control myself, because I'm just a woman. Ooh, sugar, I love it when you control me.
Here, baby, take some more.
Not so fast, Uncle Sugar.
Mike Huckabee.
That's right, the Right Reverend Mike Huckabee to you. Uncle Sugar, you are going to stop controlling women. You're going to stop treating women as if they're just a big fat libido with legs. American women can control their libidos all by themselves without the oppressive progressive hand of big government.
But what if I use birth control pills to control my monthly cycle?
I didn't hear that. Away with you, Uncle Sugar. You and your woman-hating Democrats will war on women no more.
Curse you, Mike Huckabee. You and your female-empowering Republicans thwart every scheme I come up with to force women to have birth control options.
Be gone!
Because I am pro-choice, I choose to run away in abject terror.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Right Reverend Mike Huckabee. Now I don't need the government to control my libido.
You're welcome, little lady.
Now, how about women get equal pay for equal work? It's 2014.
I didn't hear that, but you can make me a sandwich.
Next week, the Right Reverend Mike Huckabee battles the oppressive, progressive hand of government forcing immigrants to cross the border to find a better life.
The administration can't seem to conclude a comprehensive treaty with Afghanistan. This means the US may withdraw totally from there. In turn, that means no more bases for the CIA to drone Taliban bad boys in Afghanistan and Pakistan. The drone program could be about to be droned. Some patriotic citizens are up in arms. Stone Peck is at a pro-drone protest in Washington, D.C.
Save our drones! Save our drones!
Hey there, tell me about your signs. I see they read, sad is sad to see drones go. Who is sad?
That's our spontaneous grassroots group, Save Our Drones.
But surely that would be sod, not sad.
Are you dumb or what? Save, S-A-V-E, our, A-R-E.
Our is spelt O-U-R?
No, it's not. Anyway, sod don't mean anything.
Actually, sod is a section of turf with soil attached. In British English, sod is short for sodomite, or one who practices sodomy.
Ew, get away from me, pervert.
Me too, keep your hands off me, sicko.
A lot of people, even President Obama, think drones are at best a necessary evil. But I guess you're really pro-drone.
Yeah, you betcha. Drones protect freedom. Drones keep us safe.
Yeah, without putting anyone in harm's way.
What about the Afghan and Pakistani citizens they put in harm's way, as in death?
They don't put Americans in harm's way, and that's all that counts.
You have a problem with that?
What about the critics who say that putting foreign civilians in harm's way by droning them in the hopes of hitting the odd terrorist is actually terrorizing those people?
So? Terrorizing isn't the same as terrorism.
Terrorism is dropping bombs on some people to keep all the people terrified.
Isn't that what drones do?
Man, you're dumb. Droning people protects them from terrorists. Hello? So some of them become cholesterol damage. It's for their own good.
So you'd say that drone attacks in heavily populated areas in the hopes of killing the odd bad guy is in the best interests of the dronies and of the U.S.
Provided. Provided that they're accurately targeted by fully trained, super patriotic recruits.
Preferably evangelical Christians.
In their late teens.
In Colorado.
What about the criticism that the violent resentment droning causes simply breeds more terrorists?
So what? The more terrorists there are, the more drones we need.
And the more drones we have, the more our brave fighting men and women won't be in harm's way. Yay! Save our drones!
Many problems we respond to militarily are actually political ones. What about solving them through political, non-military means?
Are you f***ing kidding?
What would our brave fighting men and women do then?
Not be in harm's way? Get a job that didn't involve killing people?
That's surrender. No surrender, no retreat.
That's treason, mister.
You Canadian.
You ought to be deported, along with that beaver kid.
Filthy libtard media.
Save our drones! Save our drones!
Save our drones!
This is Stone Peck reporting live from the sad Make That Sod protest in Washington.
Hello, I'm Piers Morgan, and I haven't yet been deported. With me tonight are some of the celebrities who attended President Obama's State of the Union address as special guests. They are, in no particular order, Ted Nugent, Tony Bennett, Lady Gaga, Taylor Swift, Mumford & Sons, Coldplay, Faith Hill, Tim McGraw, Rihanna, Chris Brown, Prince, Beyonce, LL Cool J, Charo, ex-Pope Benedict XVI, Lucifer, Goebbels, Pat Robertson, Abraham Lincoln, John Wilkes Booth, Shirley Booth, Powers Booth, Charles Nelson Reilly, William Jennings Bryant, Lynette Squeaky Fromm, Lech Walesa, Bazooka Joe, Stephanie Cutter, Genghis Khan, Mayor Koch, Chelsea Handler, and Jerry Mathers as the Beaver. So, Ted Nugent, what did you think of Obama's speech?
Obama was so full of
That's enough. Tony Bennett.
Beautiful, just beautiful. I worked with the president in Tahoe.
Abraham Lincoln.
This reminds me of a story about a pig.
Genghis Khan. Beaver Cleaver.
Sorry, Mr. Nugent. My dad says Obama's right about semi-automatic weapons.
Mr. Nugent, please leave Lincoln alone.
It's all right. I've had worse.
I'd like to thank all my guests, but I don't have time to say your names again. Good night.
It's time to meet the Final Edition Radio Hour's chaplain and end times advisor, Pastor John Hagee of Cornerstone Church in San Antonio, Texas. Here's Pastor John with another End Times God podcast.
Today, why Christians must wipe out the environment. Folks ask me, Reverend, how come we need laws against witchcraft? Because the heathen practice witchcraft, and environmentalists are heathens, witches and warlocks who worship the moon and trees. They hug trees and fornicate with them. They kidnap Christian babies with long-range magic and feed them to endangered species. The environment is heathen. Do endangered species worship the Lord and sing hymns and raise their children in the fear of the Lord? No. They sit around never doing a lick of work, naked as the day they was born, with their sex doodads banging around between the legs and fornicating with any female that comes down the trail. The environment is dark-sided. The environment sends us hurricanes, tsunamis, snowstorms, forest fires, floods, pestilence. Where does a plague of frogs come from? Or boils or black fly? From some fine Christian oil or coal company? No siree, Bob. They come from the environment. Without strip mining and clear cutting and bulldozing, without chemicals and pollutants and the Army Corps of Engineers, God bless their holy earth movers, we would be engulfed in a nightmare called the environment. Hungry, thirsty, cold and naked, having spotted owls and Canada geese pecking out our eyes, having our steaming entrails ripped from our bellies by polar bears and snail darters. Every single one of these heathen killers coming from where, brethren and sistren? Idaho? No, the environment. The Lord God gave us the environment to wipe out. The Lord wants a planet stripped of heathen trees and sinful species. Oceans emptied of fat, lazy whales and freeloading baby seals. He doesn't want to see a speck of green. Green makes the Lord see red. Green is the color of envy and witch vomit. God wants a spotless white planet, ready for him to destroy utterly when he returns. For the Messiah is coming, America. Wherefore, rejoice!
We'll be right back after this with the Final Edition Radio Hour. Welcome back to the conclusion of the final edition radio hour, A More Perfect Onion. It looks like we might make it after all.
The year 2014.
Most Americans have reacted with a collective shrug to revelations that the NSA has been spying on phone data and web traffic to find terrorists. One person who objected was Stanley Morales of the American Civil Liberties Union. So we asked him if he's a terrorist.
Well, no, but that's not the point. The point
is... One person who is not a terrorist, however, is Ned Partridge, a typical man on the street.
I want the NSA to hear my phone calls. I want them to know all the great things I say about them.
The year 2020.
It was revealed today that the NSA has been spying on phone calls and tapping into webcams and smartphone cameras that they thought were turned off, all for the sake of catching the people who have been pulling out their penises in lumber stores. We asked Stanley Morales if he thought it was a good idea to pull out his penis in a lumber store.
Of course not, but is that your excuse for doing...
One person who would not pull out his penis in a lumber store is Ned Partridge, our man on the street.
Are you kidding? With all those electric saws and everything?
The year 2030.
Pornography is bad, except for a few kinds that we in the U.S. government have decided are good. So we're collecting search terms to make sure that... So we're collecting search terms to make sure people only look at the right kind of porn. How about it, Mr. Morales of the ACLU? Is it better to have a meaningful relationship with a real person? Or to sit by yourself looking at smut.
Obviously, a real person is more fulfilling, but you know...
But our man on the street wants what's best for America.
Are we still going to have porn with twins?
Yeah. We're keeping that.
Oh. Then fine.
The year 2040.
Prohibition of alcohol didn't work the first time because we couldn't keep track of everybody. Now we can. We asked Stanley Morales of the ACLU, should we read people's brain scans to locate their demon rum, or should we just force people to drink rubbing alcohol? No reaction from Mr. Morales, because we've decided to detain him at an undisclosed location. Does our man on the street, Ned Partridge, have a problem with that?
But why did you... No, I don't have a problem.
That's right. Why would you have a problem? Unless you're a terrorist, or a flasher, or a radical, or a pervert who enjoys the kind of pornography that doesn't have twins.
The year 2050.
This portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is made possible by the Landmark Ledge Fund.
Your grandfather did it. His grandfather did it. Someday soon, you'll be doing it. For old money, it's the only honorable way to go. But insurers won't pay your family benefits. And modern skyscrapers have no ledges. But worry no more. Landmark Ledge Fund has been helping the families of ledge leapers since the panic of 1893. We guarantee a handsome ledge in a landmark building when the time for your last leap comes. Landmark Ledge Fund. Reasonable premiums, legendary ledges.
It's time for NPR's final morning edition with Steve Inskeep.
And now Deborah Amos on the Syrian peace talks in Montreux.
Steve, the conference has seen an extensive photo archive smuggled out of Assad's secret jails of 11,000 emaciated corpses, each numbered and logged in great bureaucratic detail, suggesting that torture, strangulation, starvation, and execution are systematic.
But have these photos been verified?
No, but they were clearly taken and logged by the Assad regime of citizens who died in their custody.
Has an independent third party verified that? They could easily have been photoshopped.
I assume they've been checked for digital tampering.
You assume that?
Have Assad's people come up with the same kind of evidence that the rebels are torturing, starving, and executing loyalists?
No, Steve. If the rebels were torturing, starving, and executing loyalists, Assad's people would be all over us with the evidence, and there's nothing.
But how do we know for sure that the rebels aren't doing the same thing?
Because there's no evidence that they are.
But we all know that having no evidence they are doesn't mean they're not. In civil wars, it's normal for both sides to commit horrible atrocities. Except in America, of course.
The rebels aren't committing atrocities on anything like the scale of the Assad regime, as far as every available piece of evidence over the last 3 years would indicate.
Ah, so the evidence merely indicates they're not. It can't be verified by a reliable third party either.
The Assad regime is committing war crimes on a massive scale. For example, its control of the ports allow it to withhold food and medicine from large areas of the country. They're using food and medical supplies as weapons of war. That's a war crime.
But aren't the rebels doing the same thing?
No! They don't control the ports! Steve, what is now bordering on full-scale genocide goes unchecked because of the continuing support of Assad by Russia and Iran.
But aren't the rebels also being supported by Russia and Iran?
What? No! Why would... Russia and Iran don't support the rebels?
Maybe they do. Clandestinely.
Why would they do that?
What about a ceasefire?
A ceasefire is impossible so long as Russia and Iran continue to supply Assad with armaments, military supplies, and money.
What if the rebels unilaterally laid down their arms?
They'd be massacred by the tens of thousands.
I would think it's worth trying. We took away Assad's chemical weapons. Maybe it's time for the rebels to give up something.
Steve, you're... A shoo-in for Anchorman 3.
Just maintaining my journalistic objectivity, Deborah. Every war has two sides.
God, how I miss Bob Edwards.
And now, in a brand new low for the final edition, we bring you Famous Farts in Congressional History.
April 24th, 1954.
Senator McCarthy, you have the floor.
Thank you, Speaker. Citizens, there is a communist plague in this country that must be hunted out.
Oh, Senator McCarthy, what did you eat for lunch? Good Lord!
That wasn't me.
Oh, the silent ones are the worst.
The deadliest, Speaker.
It wasn't me. It was one of you. One of you! And I'll find you. As God is my witness, I will find you.
That was Famous Farts in Congressional History. Join us next time when we examine the worst dumps of President Lyndon Baines Johnson, excluding his efforts in Vietnam, his worst dump of all.
Pete Seeger died this week. As much for his lifelong crusade to get Americans singing American songs, he should be remembered for his appearance before HUAC, or the House Un-American Activities Committee, in 1955. This constitutional travesty run by congressional bigots, fearmongers, smearmongers, perjurers, spineless yes-men, and other assorted human sewage from which today's Tea Party and not a few so-called conservatives are directly descended, was utterly un-American. It drove people to suicide and into exile and persecuted ordinary and extraordinary Americans alike for the heinous crime of speaking their beliefs out loud and occasionally acting on them. HUAC called up Lanky Pete for the crime of singing for such Americans, to which he replied, "I have sung in hobo jungles and I have sung for the Rockefellers. I have never refused to sing for anybody. I'm proud I've sung for Americans of every political persuasion." For this, HUAC sentenced him to a year in jail. He beat that rap, but was slapped on the unofficial, but actually very official, blacklist, religiously upheld by all three TV networks, and even more religiously by the craven advertising agencies who provided the network's revenues. Not a story you'll find dealt with in Mad Men. After 12 years on the blacklist, completely excluded from America's principal medium, it took a satirist, Tommy Smothers, to get lanky old Pete off the blacklist and back on the air. In September 1967, on the Smothers Brothers Hour, he sang a song ostensibly about World War II, but actually about Vietnam and LBJ, called Waist Deep in the Big Muddy. It's about as close to satire as good old Lanky Pete got. True to form, CBS censored it from the show. As a fond farewell to a great American, here it is one more time. Sing along, people, if you know the tune.
It was back in 1942, I was a member of a good platoon. We were on maneuvers in Louisiana one night by the light of the moon. The captain told us to ford a river, that's how it all begun. We were knee-deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. The sergeant said, sir, are you sure this is the best way back to the base? Sergeant, go on, I forded this river about a mile above this place. It'll be a little soggy, but just keep slogging, we'll soon be on dry ground. We were waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Well, the sergeant said, sir, with all this equipment, no man will be able to swim. Sergeant, don't be a nervous Nelly, the captain said to him. All we need is a little determination, men, follow me, I'll lead on. We were neck deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. All at once, the moon clouded over, we heard a gurgling cry. A few seconds later, the captain's helmet was all that floated by. The sergeant said, turn around, men, I'm in charge from now on. And we just made it out of the big muddy with the captain dead and gone. We stripped and dived and found his body stuck in the old quicksand. I guess he didn't know that the water was deeper than the place he'd once before been. Another stream had joined the big muddy about a half mile from where we'd gone. We were lucky to escape from the big muddy when the big fool said to push on. Well, I'm not going to point any moral, I'll leave that for yourself. Maybe you're still walking, you're still talking, you'd like to keep your health. But every time I read the paper, them old feelings come on. We're waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Waist deep, neck deep, soon even a tall man will be over his head. We're waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on.
The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition. For your fill of satire with teeth, visit www.thefinaledition.com at least once a day. Performed by Kevin Janis, Barry Lank, Darby Worley, Ann Tuchel, John Marshall, Rob Gordon, Jen Dodd, Jeff Chrysler, Tony Hindra. Written by Barry Lank, John Fugelsang, Rob Gordon, John Marshall, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hindra. Edited by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. Produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hindra. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition, LLC. Copyright 2014.